The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
There's a text that says, I used to call my daughter Chicken. And over a couple of years, this morphed from Chicken to Chicken Nugget, to Nug Monster, to Nugster, and finally, Nuggy. She has no issues. Thank you for that. Liz Valour, good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Ryan.
Nice to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you, too.
How are you, Chicken? Only joking. I want to ask you about, you heard me talking to Marita Conlon McKenna about the famine.
Yes.
And her book, The Hungry Road, which is, I don't know if you
read
it.
I just went out and got it and read it because she's amazing.
And isn't it an intriguing sort of trip into that world?
I tell you, I wasn't the better of it. I just gave me, the way she writes, she brings you right in there to a degree that you didn't allow yourself maybe accept before.
Yeah.
I think that was the bit that got me about it was, like, in some way, you nearly weren't emotionally ready to take what really happened to people. It's so horrific, you know?
Well, you can
understand how it's still in the consciousness of people.
Precisely. Or not. I mean, I think it's something that, I think the point is that we are so embarrassed by it or so appalled by it or disgusted by what happened to us that it's actually so enormous. A million people crawling around the ground, eating grass and licking rocks and dying.
Oh, dear God, eating rats.
You know, and rats or each other, as happened.
Yeah.
I mean, there was cannibalism.
Yeah.
That no one wants to discuss that as a point because, you know, who wants that in their lives? And yet, as you read that and other things, it comes alive and the ugly. But it's important. Anyway, that's for another conversation. You were in New York City and you went to that beautiful building with the two lions at the bottom of the steps.
Yes.
Yeah. The wonderful public library. And in you went. And what did you discover there?
I discovered the records of many of the people who had gone out there. There was a priest who set up an immigrant bank. And because the Irish that went out there, they had nowhere to put the money that they were beginning to make or able to send it home or do anything. And so he set up this bank for them because they hadn't been used to any banking system. But seemingly, I was listening to a show that they were closing down that bank and they discovered these records and they were going to get rid of them until, thankfully, somebody suggested, would the public library be interested in them? Now, I was so fascinated when I heard the type of record it was that when I was visiting my daughter in New York, that I said to her, look, of all the places, I want to go there.
Yeah.
But I want to go there first and then go to Ellis Island.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked, when I went in and I asked them about it, she said, you're the second person to ask us about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, are you related? I said, no, not at all. And he brought me up and here were all these ledgers with all these documents and it would have the name of the person, their date of birth, when they went out, the ship they went on, the name of parents, the townland they came from, their brothers and sisters, their sisters and brothers at home.
Yeah.
All of this is in the record. So I looked up, because I originally came from County Meath in a small village called Gurley between Kells and Athboy,
mm-hmm.
and I looked it up. And there was a couple of names I wasn't familiar with. I asked my brother, he said, yeah, they're still living here. You know, that the relatives of these people had gone out there.
That's fascinating.
And Ryan is absolutely, I spent the entire day there looking at them.
I wish I was sitting beside you because I would have, you know, at that museum, talk about bringing history alive. That is the closest thing to a physical link in the chain between generations.
But I emailed over a copy of some of the documents. On one side of the ledger, it would have, let's say, the name of the person and all the rest of where they came from. And then other side, then, it was all this information about the townland they came from, the aunts, the uncles, the children, whether the parents were died, who was left at home.
Yes.
Like one brother at home or parents dead or, you know, it was the most fascinating thing. And then when I went out to Ellis Island and then I realised what happened when they got there and the quarantine and all the rest, it just brought the entire thing alive.
Amazing. You did that's an amazing trip to New York to do it that way. You know, we always hear about shopping in New York.
I had no intentions of going into the big shops.
No, you did the right thing. You can do a bit of both, but absolutely the right thing. And, you know, at one point I was having a beer in Max Sorley's in Five Points in New York. You know that spot there? And that's where the gangs in New York was based, where they all came off the boat. It was a great film, which actually is probably so true to life in some ways. But the point I'm making is that at one point in Five Points, 30% of the population of that area, big area district, were born in Ireland. Not of Irish extraction, not second generation,
born in Ireland.
Mass produced over the ocean on those coffin ships and on. Anyway, we have to go. But Liz, keep us posted as to your stories like that, because it's great and utterly intriguing.
Well, I tell you one thing. The next time you go to New York, I spent the entire day, and then I met her in Bryant Park afterwards, and we had a lovely time.
I bet.
But it was just...
You have me convinced.
That's what I get to see. When I have four kids that have emigrated all over the world, Brian, Toronto, New York, Melbourne, and Wellington, you know, you get to see where they live.
You sure do. And you get to, that's just the 21st century of an alternative 19th century history. Liz, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. Lovely to talk to you. And we have to say goodbye there.